Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and WNST.net. I tell you what, Baltimore Positive is pretty positive today, man. I'm pretty positive that I'm going to have a crab cake. I'm pretty positive that I'm going to have the French fries I love. And I'm going to say something here because I'm not a coleslaw guy. I mean, I don't – most coleslaws I don't eat.
I know where you're going.
I eat Faithley's coleslaw. So
Where are we today?
The world famous – and it says so right on the door, world famous Lexington Market. We're here at Faithley Seafood, and we're going to talk about, like, we're down into the dirty now, right? Like, we did Essex with Dutch over at Pizza John's, right? Then we go to Catonsville a couple times at State Fair. We had Freeman. We visited Barbara Mikulski up at the Johns Hopkins. But short of where I broadcast every single moment of every single day, which is downtown Baltimore because that's where I live, live from the Inner Harbor, Baltimore Positive. We're at the Lexington Market, and I'm happy to be here, and I can't wait till they fire up the crab cakes.
And we're here with the executive director of the Greater Baltimore Committee. What a better way to celebrate Baltimore Positive, Don, than being in this historic market.
It's incredible, and appreciate the opportunity to be here. But boy, what could be more natural than being right here today?
It's amazing. Don and I were laughing, Nestor. I told him that we had three great segments last week with Dr. Freeman Rabaski, and he said, "Up, here we go again, breaking the rule. You never follow Freeman."
So always tough to follow Freeman. He does such a great job with everything he does, because it's at the school, with the speeches, with motivation, and he's just an amazing guy to deal with, and great treasure for all of us in Baltimore.
It's amazing. Don, for people who might not know, even before we get into the Greater Baltimore Committee, tell folks a little bit about you and your journey, because one of the things Nestor and I have been fascinated with in talking with folks is nothing's ever a straight line. You know, you're an attorney, right. You end up in the legislature. And
yeah,
then
I mean, your background, right, to me, I mean, I talk to people all day long about all sorts of things, but when a guy from Harford County in the modern era in 2019, right, for someone from Harford County to say, yeah, I'm going to go into the city and try to save the city and make the city awesome, that would be tough recruiting today, but you're of a different sort of spirit, I think.
Yeah, well, first of all, I grew up in Harford County my entire life. I went to public schools in Harford County. I went to Frostburg State University, college at that time, where I played football and was captain of the football team, was also student government president, so that doesn't happen very often.
Go Bobcats!
Go Bobcats! And my wife teases me because I was also a Beller Bobcat. She thinks I can't remember two different mascots. But anyway, so I went to Frostburg, and then I came back to Baltimore and went to University of Baltimore School of Law, and it wasn't uncommon for us during a break between classes to come down to Lexington Market and enjoy the experience that was here. Ended up going back to Harford County and practicing law. While practicing law, got involved in politics, was fortunate to be elected to the House of Delegates, and then moved over to the Senate for a period of time. And then when the political world came to an end, I had some choices, not unlike Don does in his situation now, in that I could continue to practice law, possibly be a judge, but I had no desire to be a judge. But what really got me motivated was doing public policy, trying to find solutions to problems. So I put the word out to some people that that's what I was interested in doing, and I was fortunate that Don Hutchinson, former Baltimore County executive, who was the president of the GBC at that time, said, "I don't have the number one job. I've got the number two job. Would you be interested in coming down?" So I gave up my law practice and came down to Baltimore to focus on problems that you deal with from a business perspective, dealing not only with Baltimore City, but also Harford, Baltimore, Howard, Anne Arundel, and Carroll County, because the Greater Baltimore Committee is a regional organization now, differently than it was 64 years ago when it was first created.
I think that's one of the biggest misnomers, and something we've talked a lot about around here, that the thing that's missing is that ingredient where the people in the counties don't want to come to Faithley's Market, yeah, or don't want to come to Lexington Market, or don't want to come downtown. I hear it every day, yeah, and that's what we are. First off, we need to identify our problems here and fix them, because we have problems here.
Definitely. There's no doubt.
You know, that's where we are, and over this next 16-month period where we're going to find new leadership, hopefully people that aren't stealing, hopefully people with a vision, hopefully people that can bring business here, stop the all of the issues and the educational part of this, we're here to talk about it all day, but you live in this world. You know, Don's up in Baltimore County, and Don every day would tell me it's amazing how much the city and the county, that there's an imaginary line there,
it's
right? Literally.
It's a line on a map. I mean, well, we're actually, I'm sure we'll talk at some point during this segment. Just this week there was an op-ed about something that would be very, very complex to do, but perhaps merging the city and the county, and that's a discussion maybe for a later segment. But the points that you're bringing up, Nestor, what Don's talking about being motivated, what's interesting, Don, in terms of what motivated you, I think is what Nestor and I are trying to get through and get through to folks in these discussions with people, and that is let's talk about the policies. Let's be practical. Yeah. Nestor is fanatical about we can fix this.
Oh, you know why I'm fanatical about it? I don't know you, and I know Bill Cole. I've met you one time that I remember, and this is honest to God. I met him at BWI at probably Gate A5 down below. We were on an airplane with the entire Ravens brass. We were going to Indianapolis. How about that? Mm-hmm. You and me, guy from Dundalk, guy from Bel Air, going to Indianapolis for the NFL Combine, where they've turned this into every hotel's used, every Bruce Chris is selling steak all night. I mean, you know, all that goes on around this football thing that stole our football team to begin with. So it's he, Bill Cole, John Harbaugh, you know, Eric DeCott, we're all getting on the same plane. I don't know enough about the Greater Baltimore Committee. I live in Baltimore. My wife, Reese, we live at the harbor. I'd love for you to give me a platform on how can I be supportive other than this? Sure. But what the hell do you do? I don't really know. I want to learn.
Great,
you know what I mean?
Well, let me give you a little bit of background. Of course, the Greater Baltimore Committee was created in 1955, was originally strictly for downtown Baltimore because there had not been any major economic development projects in downtown Baltimore since World War II, and the business community felt something needed to be done. So they created an action committee to try to bring about real results. When you look at some of the, Jim Rouse is one of the founders of the Greater Baltimore Committee. When you look at some of the initial projects that the GBC was supporting at that time, one was the creation of Charles Center. Charles Center did not exist at that time. That was the number one project. Number two was the building a civic center for concerts and conventions and things of that
nature.
Now
we go into the 60s.
1962 is when it's finally built. So in 1955, 58 is when the GB comes up with that idea, it gets
built. Let me guess, here comes the mechanic after that.
Well, now, close. We had the mechanic at some point, but then also was actually the expansion of Friendship Airport. At that time, Friendship Airport was owned by the city of Baltimore. Friendship Airport is now BWI Airport. And then also some of the other things.
By the way, I'm still mad about that. Yeah. How do you take the name Friendship off of your airport? Yeah. How do you do that?
Yeah. I think you do it for regional appeal.
That's the only example.
I don't even put it all the time. Right. See, Thurgood Marshall, I'm like, all right, at least they put it somewhere good. Yeah. And I know from a regional standpoint, we wanted that Washington name in there because we wanted people.
Sure.
I'm going to help the airport.
You'd like it to be BWI Friendship Airport. There you go.
That's all I'm saying.
Maybe
that's
a new initiative. So then we had other projects that we got very involved in. We're actually bringing Jones Falls into Baltimore City because without that, you would have had the interstate bypassing the city of Baltimore. So Jones Falls is a connection of that.
Then Barbara Mikulski taught us about the Fort McHenry.
Well, that was another part of it. That's a different part of it. She was, and that certainly spurred her career moving forward, to say the least. And then a lot of major projects in downtown, whether it be the stadiums, the convention center, the expansion convention center, the Inner Harbor, all those were things that GBC was even very actively involved in.
That's a hell of a legacy.
Oh, yeah. Well, then over time, though, talk about a regional perspective. What happened is you saw people starting to leave the city and move out to the suburbs when suburbia really took place. So Baltimore City went from 950,000 people back in 1955 when Howard County probably had 40,000 people. And then you started to see it spreading out. So now, what we realized, the organization before I got there realized, was that regions are what drive the economy today, not individual jurisdictions like it was in 55 when Baltimore City had 500, 800, 950,000 people.
Yeah, we never had a wall over on Eastern Avenue by crossing Blackwell and Eastwood Inn. We just, you know, like, the bus went the 23, crossed the line. I knew where the city line was, though.
Yeah, sure.
And we always knew, and I'm not, you know, I'm just being honest. In the city line, we would know that the plows would stop.
Right. Is that right? Yeah.
Right.
But no, we were always plowed from Eastwood, you know, toward East Point Mall. Right. But once you would cross 95 and get up to Cane Street, because I owned a house on Cane Street, I bought my first home in the city the day I turned 18 years old. On Cane Street, and I knew my road wasn't going to get plowed.
Well, if you worked at Bethlehem Steel, you worked in Baltimore.
When you're out of town, to this day, I mean, whether you're somewhere in the United States or whether you're somewhere in Europe, you know, we've been to Europe many times. Nestor, you've been to Europe, and people say, where are you from? you know, I don't say I'm from Catonsville. I'm proud to be from Catonsville. I say I'm from Baltimore.
Right.
That's what we
And that
say.
Used to carry, hey, crab cakes, the harbor. Yeah. Hey, you know, the aquarium. Right. You know, the Orioles, Cal Ripken, Camden Yards. You know, the Fadley's. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's Lexington right. Market. I mean, right. all of these things. And now the first thing I hear when I get on a plane or get off a plane is Wire, Baltimore. Oh my God! And I was at the dinner with a friend of mine in Emerald County who's a bit of a city guy, but more of a D.C. a suburb guy, and he said, this is media-driven. This is his interpretation is every night the news leads, and I've gone after Channel 13 this week, and I'll continue, and it's not even about Bubala. It's about me driving down I-83 and seeing a flashing billboard, and the 5 o'clock news said murder in Southwest Baltimore, and I thought, that's what you got? That's what's on the news? I mean, so changing the narrative is part of, we have to change the narrative, yeah. But piling on...
It's a big challenge. It's a big challenge. Yeah, we've looked at it. So how do we get national stories? How do we get people interested from a national basis? Because there's so many great things happening in Baltimore City today. But unfortunately, it gets dwarfed by the negative things in the press, predominantly from homicides, violent crime, things of that nature. But if you look at what's going on, the city's got tremendous things going on. Right. You see tremendous growth. Wall Street Journal just recognized Baltimore City as one of the top three places in the country for millennials, for recent college graduates to come. I mean, when you have that sort of activity going on out there, and you see the type of, there's more private sector investment now in the city than there has been in decades. You see cranes dotting the skyline. I tell some college professors, they don't like to hear it, but they bring classes in to talk to me periodically. I'll tell them, don't forget all the formulas about what the wages are or what the employment level is. If you really know the health of the city, count the number of cranes that are dying the skyline. Right. That will tell you the health
of the city.
That's
the future. That's the little dial like you have on radar to know what the forecast is the next hour or two. If you got cranes, you know, that's investment.
Yeah. And a couple of years ago, I think it was one of the local papers started putting out a publication called The Crane Watch. And you could go on the website and count and see
that's
the number
great,
of cranes
actually.
That
that's,
were...
Every time I ever landed in Vegas, I saw 15 cranes.
And, right.
You know, when I was in Beijing before the Olympics 12 years, I've never seen anything. I mean, I have pictures. There were, you know, 50 cranes. I mean, at one point, Vegas had like this incredible, the amount of cranes in the world, you know, 12% of all the cranes in the world were in Vegas building stuff. And that would speak to where we are located, because if I'm speaking about Baltimore in some sort of positive way elsewhere, I would say if why to come to Baltimore, why to be here? My God, we got the mountains there and the ocean here and the bay there and the boat there and the weather here and Washington here. And Don and I get up to New York on the weekends and we got baseball and football.
It's amazing.
And we have all of these assets. And yet for decades, we've had this thing sweep back up from 1968 when I was born.
Right.
And, you know, how do we turn it? Because I've seen it turned in Cleveland. I've seen it turned in Indianapolis. I've seen it turned in Detroit. And that gets back to BWI when I met you. We were going to a city that we've seen physically get better. This city needs to be that city, and we need to make it that.
Well, I think it is getting better, but it's also going to take time. Those didn't turn around overnight either. It took time for those. It took some planning. It took some real strong leadership. But I think you've seen that. Just look around. Let's just take a small segment of Baltimore City. Look around the Inner Harbor itself. Over in the Locust Point area, you've seen the Anthem House and some major apartment complexes going there. Next to where you are,
you
are, 414 Light Street.
I was so
looks at it every day.
Honestly, God, we were so worried about what they were going to put there or, you know, how it was going to affect us or whatever. And we look out now, we see this beautiful pool. It looks like we're looking at a Vegas. And we're
TV
like,
screen.
We're like, you know what? This is good. Of all the things, this is better than an empty lot. You know, it probably isn't as good as the old McCormick Spice Company with the stained glass doors. we're here at Baltimore Positive. We're down at Fadley's. We have, Damien's going to get us fat.
My goodness, look at this.
You know,
look at that one.
Chicken
I mean,
and waffles.
What do I say? Well, I mean,
look at this.
Come on now.
Hold on. I'm holding it right up to the camera here.
They're coming up here. They know you're a chicken and waffle guy down here at the market.
They've heard my broadcast. Look at that fried chicken. I'm going to have to get
amazing.
After that.
We're going to have
See,
some
you knew I didn't eat my fruit this morning. Huh? Don Fries here from the Greater Baltimore Committee. You guys get after it and nerd it up about the business side of this, because I'm here to learn, literally. Okay. You
and,
know?
And what you really mean is you'd like to eat some more chicken. Don, I want to jump back to 1955 for a minute. You mentioned Jim Rouse. Who else? Who were other key Baltimore leaders at that time who had this vision? Because Nestor and I are trying to focus on vision and folks that can see where we need to be.
Well, we certainly had some other major players at that time, dealing with the presence of a McCormick that was downtown, maybe a Hex or a Hustlers or people like that who were downtown. So you had certain players. Now, even at that time, Jim Rouse was a mortgage banker. He wasn't even a developer at that time.
Yeah, people probably don't know that.
Yeah. The first chairman of the GBC was Clarence Miles, who actually was instrumental in 1954 in bringing the St. Louis Browns to Baltimore for the Baltimore Orioles, become the Baltimore Orioles, and then was the first chair of the GBC.
By the way, this is the part where we stick to sports.
When they tell sports, so Clarence Miles was the first.
Clarence Miles was the first chair of the GBC, and so we've had tremendous. One of the things about the Greater Baltimore Community, the board of directors, is the bylaws require you've got to be a CEO or president of a company. So that doesn't mean that people who are at lower levels can't be involved or part of from a management perspective can't be a part of us. But in that boardroom, you have some of the top movers and shakers in the city and now in the region that come to meet. And our mission is to try to solve problems that affect the viability and competitiveness of the region as a whole. So that can be wide range from workforce to education to public safety to transportation. You can go right down the line. But there's a lot of major issues that we deal with. And that's one of the beauties about the job that I have as president and CEO is that each day is different. You don't know what may come up. We're very close to the Hippodrome Theater right here. That's an issue where years ago, you mentioned the Morris Mechanic Theater. The Morris Mechanic Theater was going to close because they had already used the subscription prices from previous year, but they couldn't do Broadway performances. What they determined was they came to the GBC, and the GBC helped float a loan to keep them alive while we did some examination and found out that Broadway performances require 2,100 seats or so. You need to have a big backstage area for all the props and scenery. That wasn't the way it was at the Mechanic and didn't have that capability. But here on the west side of Baltimore was the old Hippodrome Theater, an old vaudeville theater. On each side were some buildings that could be renovated. The cost of building a new performing arts center would have been about $120 million, but for $58 million, you could take the Hippodrome and convert it. The state of Maryland owned the Hippodrome, as a matter of fact. Paris Glendenning came up. The state committed $27 million. The private sector raised the rest, and now we have Broadway performances in Baltimore City.
Well, it's amazing. That's the great thing about these conversations is that we go in so many different directions. We're going to have the Hippodrome folks on soon. As a matter of fact, I spoke to them just this week. They have exciting new plans, as you know, to expand.
Right.
People don't even realize when you look at the building, there's this wonderful space that they hope to expand into and make it more educational.
Crazy history, too.
It's just a wonderful place. But it also brings up a question, a troubling question to me, and that is, I hadn't even thought to go down there, but you take us there now. Love the Hippodrome. Go there all the time with my wife, our friends. It's one of Baltimore's great resources. I would have told you, Don, I think you mentioned it. When did the Hippodrome reopen?
It's been about 12 years now.
Okay, 12 years. I would have told you that when that opened with this incredible facility, that 10 to 12 years later, this entire area around here would have been redeveloped, that it would have been an incredible mix of residential and retail and restaurants, and it would have been this vibrant portion of Baltimore City that we see in other cities that Nestor goes to. From your perspective, a bridge to the Inner Harbor, a bridge to
Federal Hill.
So from your perspective, this is what we really enjoy. From your perspective as the executive director of the Greater Baltimore Committee, what have been the impediments to having this place just take off like we all think it should?
Well, there certainly has been some progress. You see some right around the area. You see some development. One of the best things that you're seeing University of Maryland, Baltimore, coming more toward the downtown area directly. They've had a major encroachment, so to speak, or movement in that area. I think they're part is, remember that we went through a pretty significant recession over these last decade also until, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So I think that put a lot of plans or thoughts on hold. But your concerns are one that were expressed very clearly by someone like Senator Barbara Hoffman, who said, I don't want to be making the Hippodrome an island in that area. And so there was a significant movement to try to see Bank of America had some major investment nearby with some residential apartments there. You've seen across the street from the Hippodrome, you've seen one of the old buildings being restored. But there are still some bad spots that we need to get filled in between Lexington Market and the Hippodrome would be a great place to see some additions.
And to me, it's an opportunity area. I mean, you know, I love Everyman right around the corner from the Hippodrome. And we know that when the Hippodrome has a show or Everyman has a show, I mean, Forno pretty much is the only game in town in terms of that area. And it shouldn't be. It should be where you're looking at 5, 6, 7 restaurants in this area. And I think that's what we believe this opportunity exists. And we get so enthusiastic about the city because we know
attractive.
It's a great city.
How do you get on a plane with someone? How do you make that attractive to someone, Don?
Well, I think when you start to talk to people about Italy, even the history of a Lexington Market that's, what, 2 blocks away from the Hippodrome and right around the corner from Everyman Theater, you talk about what
I'm about
Lexington
to eat the whole place.
I said we see that,
For those watching on Facebook, Don and I are not going to get any of the chicken.
I noticed he only brought one fork and knife over with him, too.
Of you on Facebook, we're not getting any of that. Those of you listening, just imagine that we're not getting any of that.
I think it takes some real open-minded, innovative thinking developers who see opportunities that you're seeing. And I think we're starting to see that around the city of Baltimore now. You're seeing people say, this would be a great location for this sort of an establishment. This would be a great development spot because it's an infill between two different locations. So I think you're going to start seeing that as time goes on. If the markets keep going well, I think, and you see things come around, that's going to happen. Now we're having some more food delivered to you, Don.
We're going to talk.
You want a break?
You think it's a good spot?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, let's break.
We have so much to talk about.
What segment are we on? 16?
16? This is episode 16, volume 1.
Will there be a 17?
There will be a 16 volume 2 and a 16 volume 3. Bottom line is we're here at the fantastic Fadley's. The food is hot. We're going to take a quick break. We're with Don Fry, Executive Director, Greater Baltimore Committee. Three people right here who believe in the future of Baltimore.
We are WNST.net, AM 1570, WNST Towson, Baltimore. Back with more Baltimore Positive. Fadley's, crab cakes, waffles, strawberries, chicken. It's all good.